Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Elmdon Church, the church in the park. It is Sunday, the 29th of November, and we are gathered for our morning service on Advent Sunday. And it's really great to have you joining with us today, whether you're participating on Facebook or on YouTube, or whether you're watching the DVD or catching up afterwards in one of the other ways of taking part. It's great to be together this morning as Elmdon Church. My name is Richard Huss. I'm one of the leadership team at Elmdon Church. I'll be leading today's service. And later on, Graham Smy, another of our team, will be speaking on Revelation 22, verses 10 to 17. If you are watching us live, please do leave a comment, as many of you have already this morning. Good morning to Karen. Thank you for your Advent best wishes. Good morning, Joy, Rob and Ellie. Leslie and Connor, just downstairs in the same house as me. Anne, Carol and Chris, it's good to have you with us this morning. Good morning to Laura and Minelle and Linda and Tansy and Pat and Sarah and Jean and John and from the Mangles and Anne Davis as well. Really good to hear from all of you. It's been a bit weird this lockdown period, being back to the church existing in what the rest of the week is my study. But here we are. We're gathered together in the Lord's name on the Lord's Day, and that is good news. We should begin our service. The Lord be with you. Our first hymn this morning encourages us to look to heaven and to see the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned in his glory. That's what we've been reading so much about these last months, isn't it? As we've been reading the book of Revelation. And as we see him enthroned in glory, to praise him with all our hearts, knowing that this Jesus will one day return. Let's sing together. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. We sing together.
Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now from the fight returned victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victor's brow. Crown the Saviour, angels crown him, which the trophies Jesus brings. In the seat of power and throne him, while the vault of heaven rings. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, crown the Saviour, King of kings. Sinners in derision crowned him, mocking thus the Saviour's claim. Saints and angels crowd around him, own his title, praise his name. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, spread abroad the victor's fame. Hark those bursts of acclamation, hark those loud triumphant chords. Jesus takes the highest station, oh what joy the sight affords. Crown him, crown him, crown him, crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords.
King of kings and Lord of lords, indeed. Good morning to those who've joined since I last went through the comments. Good morning to John and Sue down in Shirley. Good morning as well to Jill. At this point in our service, we always pause to share news, starting with any birthdays. Do let me know in the comments if you know of any birthdays this week of people that we should be saying hello to. As always, I want to point you to the church website, elmdenchurch.org, where you can get a hold of a copy of this week's prayer and news sheet and also this week's craft sheet for children. Last week, the children were thinking about how all the bits of God's plan come together like a piece of woven work, and we've got pictures of some of the craft activities that they did in response to that. Thank you so much for sending them in. It was great also to hear about how your families have talked about the week's theme last week and the Bible reading as you were doing those crafts. For older children and teenagers, there is also a Bible study sheet based on today's reading. That's on the website as well. And as usual, there's also a link to a YouTube playlist with some extra songs and hymns that you might like to enjoy singing along with after the service. So do head on to elmdenchurch.org once this service finishes. We'll also be adding details there shortly of what's happening at Christmas. It is obviously going to be a very different Christmas for us. So do keep an eye on our website and on our social media for details on that. Toby's just nailing the final details and then we'll get that information out to everyone about what's going to be on. This afternoon is a service of Holy Communion at 4 o'clock on Zoom. If you want to take part in that, please email Toby, rector@elmdenchurch.org to ask for the details. Also on Wednesday, keep an eye on Facebook for our weekly Acorns video for toddlers, preschoolers and their carers. Barring any last minute changes from the government, which is always possible, we'll be back in the church building this Wednesday at 10:30 and next Sunday at 10:30. As before, if you want to come in person to either of those services, please will you contact Carol, carol@elmdenchurch.org, and she will put you on her list of those she knows are planning to come. I am hoping that by next Sunday we may be able to live stream the service from the church building. But that is dependent on a successful visit from some engineers during the week to install temporary equipment up in the bell chamber. Toby and I spent quite some time yesterday pulling cables up into the bell chamber from the back of the nave. Watch this space for news on that. If it doesn't happen in time for next Sunday, then we will record the service and upload to Facebook and YouTube on Sunday as we were doing before the current lockdown started. One way or another, you'll be able to participate next Sunday. It is, of course, the first Sunday of Advent, and the question on all your lips is, are we going to light the first Advent candle when we're not in the church building? And are we going to use the Advent song, Christmas is Coming, that has been part of our Christmas traditions at Elmden Church for a number of years now? Of course we are. I'm really grateful to Anne Milne for getting the Advent wreath all set up and ready for us. And each week we light another candle, and each of those candles reminds us of those who prepared the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. And the first is to remind us of the promise that God made to the patriarchs, to Abraham and David and others in that line, that one day a king would come who would rescue and save his people forever. And so we're going to light the first candle, or see me lighting it a couple of days ago. God of Abraham and Sarah and all the patriarchs of old, you are our Father too. Your love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of David, whose coming you promised to them and to us. Help us in preparing to celebrate his birth, to make our hearts ready for your Holy Spirit to make his home among us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen. And let's sing the first verse of Christmas is Coming.
Christmas is coming, the church is glad to sing, and let the Advent candles brightly burn in a ring. The first is for God's promise to put the wrong things right and bring to earth darkness the hope of love and light.
And each week as Advent goes on, we'll add a verse. Let us come before the Lord in confession. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. I invite you to keep a few moments of silence as we remember the ways in which we've failed to live up to all that God desires for us to be. And then would you join in with the words that will appear in white. For all the times we have gone our own way, Father, forgive us. You tell us to follow you. For all the times we have put ourselves before you and our service to others, Father, forgive us. You tell us to love. For all the times we have been selfish with the things that you give us, Father, forgive us. You tell us to share. To follow you, to love others, and share with them, Father, forgive us. You tell us to change. And all of us have rebelled against God. You, me, everyone. And there is a judgment to come. But as well as that judgment, there is hope. There is restoration because of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. He died and rose again to save us and rescue us from our sins. His death bore the penalty that we deserved. His perfect righteousness becomes our own record. He gives us new life. We'll be hearing about that in a moment as we look at today's Bible reading. New life and the assurance of life with God forever. And he sends his Holy Spirit to live in us, transforming us from within. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anne is going to read to us now from Revelation chapter 22, after which Graham will be preaching.
Today's lesson is taken from Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 to 17. Then he told me, "Do not seal up the word of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. This is the word of God.
Good morning. Today is Advent Sunday, which is a very special day in the church calendar. It's the start of the season of Advent, and it's also the first Sunday of the liturgical year. So, what does the season of Advent mean to you? what activities normally happen in Advent. Most of us probably think of it as the time leading up to Christmas. We might have an Advent calendar, where we count through the days of December until we arrive, finally, at Christmas Day. During Advent, we might put up a Christmas tree and other decorations. We might prepare food, Christmas cake, Christmas pudding, so it's ready for the big day. We might buy and wrap presents. We might write cards and send them to our friends and family, being careful not to miss the last posting date, of course. In Advent, we are getting ready for Christmas. I remember as a child, the weeks leading up to Christmas always seemed to go so slowly. I was very excited about the big day, and I just wanted it to come quickly. But the season of Advent is also about waiting. Waiting for Christmas to come in its own good time. And what is it we are waiting for? What is it we are getting ready for? A holiday? A big party? Feasting? Time to get together as a family? Now, as Christians, we believe it's all about Jesus. We are waiting and getting ourselves ready for his arrival. As we get caught up in all the busyness of preparation, let us not forget that we are preparing to celebrate God's arrival on earth in the form of a baby called Jesus. And as we move through this season, there is a sense that something very special is coming. There is a build-up of excitement and anticipation until the special day finally comes. Traditionally, the season of Advent has been a serious time. At some times, and in some places, it was a period of fasting similar to Lent, a time for self-reflection. Why is this? It's because for the church, the season of Advent is not just about getting ready for the celebration of Christmas. There is another focus too. Yes, we are waiting for Jesus to come. Yes, we are waiting for the day of celebration. But this is not the baby in the manger. This is the risen and ascended Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, returning to judge and to reign. At Advent, we look forward to the time when Jesus will put an end to all evil and suffering, when the dead will be raised, and when all those who have trusted in him will live with him forever. Jesus is described in verse 13 of our passage as the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, and this is what they look like. So when the Bible says Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, nowadays we might say Jesus is the A to Z. He is the whole dictionary. He is everything there is. Jesus is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He was here before the creation of the universe. In fact, it was Jesus who made the universe. And it will be Jesus who brings this universe to an end and creates the new heavens and the new earth. As we have seen many times in Revelation, Jesus is God himself, who became a human at Christmas and lived among us, but who now sits on the throne of heaven. And in the words of the Creed, he shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We do not know when Jesus will return. Indeed, Jesus himself said he did not know when he would come. In Matthew 24, he says, "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." That's Matthew 24, verses 36 and 42 to 44. The time is described as soon. In verse 12 of our Revelation passage, "Look, I am coming soon." And in verse 10, "The time is near." And it's a legitimate question to ask, what does soon mean? Especially since we've been waiting almost 2,000 years already. God's time is not like our time. As Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, "In the last day scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised?' But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So we wait with anticipation, because we know his return is certain. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. It might happen this week. It might happen next year. It might happen in 200 years' time. But it will happen in God's time. And by God's timekeeping, it will be what he describes as soon. So how do we get ready for Jesus to come? Verse 14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city." We need metaphorically to wash our robes. That means giving up any habits listed in verse 15. Those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And just in case we don't think those things apply to us, we need to remember that idolatry, for example, means giving anything else a higher priority than we give God in our lives. And we need to remember that those little fibs we sometimes tell make us into people that practice falsehood. So those things do apply to us. And how we live now makes an eternal difference. If we live for Jesus now, we will be with him forever. But if we live for ourselves now, we will be cut off from him forever. In the imagery here, we will be left outside the city. And the dogs in verse 15 symbolise all who are unclean, who haven't washed their robes. In the culture of the time, dogs often run wild and usually in packs, so people wanted them kept away. They are not the cute pets that we see today. They were animals that you really did not want to have around. So how do we become clean? How do we wash our robes? It's not something we can do by ourselves. The stains just won't come out, no matter how hard we try. But the good news is that we make ourselves clean when we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us. We wash our robes when we turn away from our selfish way of life and put Jesus at the centre where he belongs. Verse 17 puts it another way. It's a free gift. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. This is a free gift that is open to everyone. Here it's compared to a refreshing drink of water that gives life. And Jesus said that he came that we may have life and have it to the full. And I can say that life I've had since I began trusting in Jesus has been far fuller, far more satisfying, far deeper than the life I had before. And Jesus wants everyone to take the free gift of the water of life. Now, I've not yet mentioned verse 11, which at first reading seems quite curious. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. And it seems curious, because surely we want the people who do wrong to turn to do right. But this verse is expressing a truth about human destiny. God has given us plenty of opportunity to wash our robes and to take the free gift of the water of life. Some people refuse to accept God, and if we persist in that way, there will come a time when we are unable to change. We will be fixed in our opposition to God. In the same way, those who accept Jesus and put him first in our lives, if we persist in that way, there will come a time when we are unable to fall away again. Once we are accepted into the heavenly city, there's no chance that we will ever lose our place. And that is good news indeed. So, in this season of Advent, we need to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. Yes, do get ready for Christmas, when we remember God becoming a man and living among us. But more importantly, let us get ready for his second coming. Let us await it with eager anticipation. The time is near. Jesus is coming soon.
Thank you so much, Graham, for sharing. Our prayers of intercession this morning are led by Rob.
In our prayers today, there is a response. First of all, Lord, show us how to live, I will say, and the response is, and give us the courage to go forward. And I will leave a gap between each prayer after that to allow a time of silent contemplation. Jesus says, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We pray that we will be ready to meet God face to face whenever that will be. Lord, show us how to live and give us the courage to go forward. Lord, we pray that all who lead our church here in Almden, in this country and also worldwide, may be led and advised by you, so that our decisions are in line with your compassion and your coming judgment. We thank you, Lord our God, that you are merciful, compassionate, all-powerful judge and witness. Lord, show us how to live and give us the courage to go forward. Lord God, we thank you for our families, neighbours and wider community. We pray that this crisis will bring us closer together and not drive us apart. For those who are anxious, bring peace. For those who are sick, bring healing. For those lonely, bring comfort and companionship. For those of us who are not lonely, help us to see those who are and reach out to them in whatever ways we can. We pray that this crisis will bring us into contact with the one true living God and to know his love for them and us. Lord, show us how to live and give us the courage to go forward. Lord God, we pray that those hurt by injustice, racial hatred and other things may know your support, that the frail and the timid may know your encouragement and reassurance. Lord, show us how to live and give us the courage to go forward. Lord, we pray for families and friends of those that have died recently. We pray for the presence of your peace and comfort through the Holy Spirit. Help us as your people to be your hands, feet and voice to transmit your love to those grieving deeply their loss. Lord, show us how to live and give us the courage to go forward. Lord God, through the love and sacrifice of Jesus, we look with hope to the fulfilment of all you have done and offer our thanks and praise for all your love. Jesus says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And so we finish our time of prayer after a moment's contemplation with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Thank you, Rob, for leading us in prayer. We're nearly, but not quite, at the end of our service this morning. I will add links in the comments to the prayer and news sheet and the crafts and the Bible study sheet and to this week's YouTube playlist. Do let us know how you're getting on or if we can help you in any way at this time. I will keep the stream running for a few minutes after final hymn and blessing so that you can feedback on today's service and on how things are with you. So a song that reminds us of the certainty of our Christian hope and of God's gracious call on our lives, because all that is based not on our own record, but on the salvation won at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can't help but sing his praises. Let's sing together. Loved before the dawn of time, salvation's song.
Loved before the dawn of time, chosen by my Maker, hidden in my Saviour, I am his and he is mine, cherished for eternity. When I'm stained with guilt and sin, he is there to lift me, heal me and forgive me, gives me strength to stand again, stronger than I was before. So with every breath that I am given, I will sing salvation's song, and I'll join the chorus of creation, giving praise to Christ alone. All the claims of Satan's curse, lifted through his offering, satisfied through suffering, all the blessings he deserves, poured on my unworthy soul. So with every breath that I am given, I will sing salvation's song, and I'll join the chorus of creation, giving praise to Christ alone, singing glory. Christ will shine forever, love's unfading splendor, earth and heaven will bow in awe, joining in salvation's song.
Our final prayer for God's blessing as we finish. May God himself, the God of peace, make us perfect and holy, and keep us safe and blameless in spirit, soul, and body for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. That's just about the end for this morning, folks. Please keep an eye on our website and social media to see if we manage to get the pieces in place to live stream the 10:30 service from the church building next Sunday morning. If we do, we'll see you online then if you're not able to join us in person. If not, we will, of course, record the service and upload it to Facebook and YouTube straight afterwards, as we were doing before the present lockdown. We'll see you again soon, one way or another.
Before the world began, God made a master plan to bring all things together under one head. That head is Jesus Christ, who died and rose to life, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. Once we were dead in sin, now we are raised with him. By grace we're saved through faith in Jesus alone. Part of his body now, united by his power, joined with his people up all over the world. We are the church, have you heard? He washed us clean with his word. He chose us to Savior.